Jesus, 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 you have the words of eternal life. I pray, Lord, that you will bring revelation of who you are and what you want with us this morning. Amen. Amen. Good morning, everyone. You lovely people, whether you're online or whether you're here with us in the flesh. I'm going to start by, hopefully this will make sense to you. On Radio 4, there has been a series called Just One Thing, and it begins like this. We would all like some quick and simple things to improve our health, but we are inundated with often conflicting advice. So if you're going to try just one thing to help your mental and physical health, what should it be? Maybe some green tea to boost your brain power. Or doing a plank to lower your blood pressure. How about some small act of kindness to boost your immune system? I'm Dr. Michael Mosley, and this is just one thing you can start today to improve your health in ways that you might not expect. Well, Miranda and I have listened to one or two of these things, and actually some of them are quite good. You can hear most of them now on BBC Sounds. But there are about 85 of them, so have fun. However, we are not just skin and bone and blood. We are spiritual beings. And when we ask Jesus into our lives, the Holy Spirit comes into us and makes us spiritually alive unto God. In James 4, 5, it says, God yearns jealously over the spirit that he has made to dwell in us. It is important to look after our bodies because we are temples of the Holy Spirit. But much more important to look after our spiritual lives because we've got them for eternity. In Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42, we read of the story of Jesus going to the house of Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. Martha was getting rather upset and frustrated. She was trying to prepare a meal for later on because Jesus was teaching away and they will all want something to eat. And she got so upset that she interrupted Jesus. Please tell Mary to help with the preparations. Jesus says in reply, but only one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Mary chose to sit at Jesus' feet and listen to his teaching. Towards or away from Jesus. Magic. This slide is one that Jamie has used a few times. It represents people either going towards Jesus or away from Jesus. I don't know about you, but I want to be always going towards Jesus. But am I? Are we? You see, you can be disinterested in Jesus, but you are doing what he wants. Or you can be doing all the right things for Jesus, but you don't really know him. Or you used to know him, but stuff has got in the way. Or you asked him into your life and desperately tried to do things for him in your own strength. Or you have known him, you want to know him more, you listen to him and do what he tells you, receiving his grace and the strength to do it. I like the best one. That's the last one. But like Mary, we have a choice. Do I choose to listen? Do I do what he wants? You see, Jesus put aside his God powers and lived a human life. And he showed us how to live by being in the presence of God the Father, listening to him, and doing what he said in the power of the Holy Spirit. Is this just one thing? To seek to be in the presence of God in order to do what he wants. It's Holy Week in the Christian calendar. And the four Gospels are absolutely packed with the teaching of Jesus in those few days which mark the final part of his earthly life. Today is Palm Sunday. Hosanna, hallelujah. Absolutely right, Lord. It's another Resurrection Sunday, as every Sunday is. It's not in Lent, but it is the first day of Holy Week. But then next Sunday, we'll all be here celebrating again, and rightly so, because one of the greatest days in history when Jesus rose from the dead. The thing is, an awful lot of gospel teaching is in between Palm Sunday and Easter Day. So what I aim to do now is to give you a whistle-stop account of Holy Week so that you might choose to follow it up in more detail this week. And perhaps this might be just one thing Jesus might want you to do. So, Holy Week. I hadn't realized that Jesus was commuting each day of Holy Week from Bethany. He went down a very steep Mount of Olives into the Kidron Valley, up another steep hill, through the Mercy Gate. Jesus entered with mercy and then carried on towards the temple. The route took about 30 to 40 minutes. No tarmac roads. Today, Palm Sunday, many people in Israel expected that the Messiah would come as a conquering savior. He did come in triumph but not as expected on a white charger to liberate Israel from the Roman occupation. But he came humbly on a donkey. The crowds, of course, wanted a conquering king. They shouted, "Bless him who comes to save us," which is what Hosanna means, cutting down palms to strew in his way as he rode in triumph on that donkey down the Mount of Olives into the Kidron Valley and up to the temple in Jerusalem. But on Palm Sunday, as he rode that young donkey up the hill towards Jerusalem, he wept. Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, the city of peace, because that's what Jerusalem means. And yet it wasn't in peace, nor perhaps is it today. So Jesus got to the temple, and because of all the preparations of getting the donkey in the first place, it was probably late afternoon when he got to the temple, and he looked around and then headed back to Bethany. Monday. I'm missing out loads of details. Today, Monday, Jesus walked from Bethany. And at some point he was hungry, and in the distance he saw a fig tree. When he got to the tree, there's no figs. So he said, "No one will ever eat of this fig tree ever again." And so, still hungry, he arrived eventually at the temple. He probably went into the court of the Gentiles. This was the only part that non-Jews were allowed to go to worship the Lord. But the whole area was taken up by a religious market. What's more, the stallholders were ripping the people off. They brought their sacrifices, but that wasn't good enough. They had to buy the special religious sacrifices and the temple money. Jesus overturns their tables and says, "My house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations, but you have made it a den of robbers." Tuesday. The chief priests and elders are getting rather disturbed about him messing their stuff up. So they talk together about killing Jesus. Today, the disciples, on their commute to the temple, notice that the fig tree has withered. And Jesus says, "Have faith in God. Whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you've received it, and it will be yours. And whenever you stand praying, forgive, that your heavenly Father may also forgive you." Is that just one thing that he might be telling someone here this morning? Forgive, because the Lord has already forgiven you. Have faith. Do you need faith to keep going? "Lord, I receive that faith." Wednesday. Mary anoints Jesus at Bethany. Story in itself. Judas Iscariot, doesn't like that very much because it's a waste of money, because he likes money. He goes to the chief priests and plots with them how to betray his Lord for 30 silver coins. Thursday. Maundy Thursday. This is a bit tricky. You'll have to think hard for this bit. As far as I understand it, this day was the day of preparation for the Passover. So the Passover was a week called the Festival of Unleavened Bread. And Jewish timing is different from our timing. So a day starts at dusk, not when you get up, not midnight. It starts at dusk. So the day of preparation on the Thursday would end at dusk when Friday began. Now that explains, I've always wondered why 3 days in the tomb for Jesus. Well, I think it's 2 days. Well, that's our timing, but it wasn't the Jewish timing. So if you've got to think carefully at this point because it blows your mind. So Friday started on Thursday at dusk. And their timing was that they count a day no matter how much of the day that there is. So, Friday, let's think about the crucifixion. I'm jumping ahead. So, Friday afternoon, Jesus dies at 3 o'clock. He's put in the tomb. It's still Friday. He's dead on Friday. Saturday starts, it's blowing your mind this, Friday at dusk, which goes on to, so then you've got Saturday. Saturday ends on our Saturday at dusk. Sunday starts, dusk on our Saturday. Yeah, I told you it was tricky. So you've got, they count that as Friday, one day, Saturday, second day, Sunday, 3 days. 3 days in the tomb. Good. Hope you got it. So I'll continue with what happens each day according to our timing now. So Thursday, lots of preparation going on. Dusk comes, they have the meal. Friday. In theirs. So they have the Passover meal. So Thursday evening, we're now on. So they're in the upper room, and the disciples had the Passover meal. Wine, food, glorious banquet. Then Jesus instigated Holy Communion, which was a special bit of bread. Look in the details. I'm not going to do it all. And a cup of wine. You know what the communion service is. But Jesus did that so that we would remember that he died, that his body was given for us, and his blood was shed for us, so that our sins, past, present, and future, are forgiven. And we need to keep remembering the gospel. Otherwise, we tend to forget. So he was really clever with that. Oh, wow. And we have eternal life. Little bonus there. Jesus showed what we should be like. As a humble servant, he washed the disciples' feet. They left the upper room and went down to the Kidron Valley. Thursday night. It's dark. They're well fed. And after going through the Kidron Valley, they start to go up the Mount of Olives, where there is a garden called the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus told the disciples to sit down, then he took James and John with him, and he fell on the ground. And in great distress, he prayed, "Father, do I have to go through with this? Lord, but I don't want my will, I want your will." And he sweated drops of blood. And he went back to James, Peter, James, and John, those three disciples, and they were asleep. So he said, "Wake up! I need you to watch and pray." And then he went again, and in great distress, this carried on. For he knew that he was about to take on the sins of the whole world. So this happened three times in all. And then Jesus said, "Enough." And then the mob appeared, and Judas came to him, and a sign to betray him was a kiss. The disciples ran away eventually, but Peter and John followed at a distance. So the early hours of Friday, still dark, Jesus was taken across the Kidron Valley by the mob, the soldiers, whoever they were, and up to Jerusalem. The chief priests assembled the Sanhedrin and had an illegal sham trial in which they convicted him to die because of blasphemy. So that was the early hours of Friday. Early Friday, Jesus hadn't had any sleep, I presume. He was being questioned, interrogated, all that time. Peter had followed. He was in the courtyard, and people started accusing him of being a disciple. And he cursed and he swore and he said, "I don't even know the man." Then, just as dawn was breaking, Jesus was led out. He looked at Peter, and Peter wept. That cock crew. They took Jesus to the Roman governor, as the religious leaders didn't have the death penalty because of Roman occupation. Pontius Pilate interrogated Jesus, couldn't find anything wrong with him. And in Luke's gospel, it says that Herod was also involved and he couldn't find anything to convict Jesus either. He was an innocent man. Pilate wanted to release Jesus, but he listened to the priests who were whipping up the crowd. He should have listened to his wife. You find that bit. So the crowd was shouting, "Crucify." So Pilate ordered that Jesus should be crucified. But first he had to be beaten, and the Roman soldiers would have beaten him till he was nearly dead. They mocked him and spat on him. He's our God, Jesus, our God. And at any moment in time, he could have cried out to Father, and there would be legions of angels who would taken him out of it. But he chose to carry on. For you and for me. Friday, 9 a.m. So still early in the morning, and all this has happened overnight. The crucifixion. Jesus the King, not wearing a golden crown, but a crown of thorns. So at 9 a.m. he was nailed to a cross. At 3 p.m. he was dead. A Roman soldier pierced his side, and out came water and blood, which is a proof that he was dead. Jesus' life wasn't taken from him. He gave it. He gave it to you and me. And just before he died, he cried out, "It is finished. Sin is finished. Death is finished." He's accomplished all he set out to do. Friday afternoon, Saturday, Sunday. He was lent a tomb by Joseph of Arimathea, and that is where his body lay. And then it's Easter Day, but we're not doing that today. Jesus. There is just one Jesus who can change us. I wonder, do we really know him? One of my favorite pieces of scripture is in Colossians, and both Simon Rackstraw and I like Colossians very much. So it's Colossians chapter 1, 15 to 23a, and I'm going to read it from the Message. We look at the Son, Jesus, and see the God who cannot be seen. We look at this Son, Jesus, and see God's original purpose in everything created, for everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, rank after rank after rank of angels, everything got started in him and finds its purpose in him. He was there before any of it came into existence, and holds it all together right up to this moment. And when it comes to the church, he organizes and holds it together like a head does a body. He was supreme in the beginning and leading the resurrection parade. He is supreme in the end. From beginning to end, he's there, towering far above everything, everyone. So spacious is he, so expansive, that everything of God finds its proper place in him without crowding. Not only that, but all the broken and dislocated pieces of the universe, people and things, animals and atoms, get properly fixed and fit together in vibrant harmonies. All because of his death, his blood, that was poured down from the cross. You yourselves are a case study of what he does. At one time, you all had your backs turned to God, thinking rebellious thoughts of him, giving trouble every chance you got. But now, by giving himself completely at the cross, actually dying for you, Christ brought you over to God's side and put your lives together, whole and holy in his presence. You don't walk away from a gift like that. You stay grounded and steady in that bond of trust, constantly tuned into the message, careful not to be distracted or diverted. There is no other gospel, just this one. Well, Paul Curley 3 weeks ago told us God is faithful. Joe Parnell 2 weeks ago urged us to remain faithful to God, making sure that there is nothing between us and God. Richard last week told us all about the worship of God from Genesis to Revelation. And he said, "Wow, the glory of the Lord." And it's true. We ain't seen nothing yet. Today's, perhaps, the Holy Spirit might be convicting each one of us to do just one thing, which will change our spiritual lives and our walk with Jesus. I wonder whether any of those bits that Jesus did that I've talked about this morning might be one of those. But there's lots in Holy Week of Jesus' teaching if you read the Gospels. Let's pray. Lord, as James 4:6 says, you give us more grace. Help us by your grace to know you, to know your voice, and be obedient to do your will. Lord, make us sure of what you want by giving us all the wisdom and all the spiritual understanding we need. Help us live the Jesus way, bringing honor to you. We want to grow in our faith and know you more clearly. Strengthen each one of us, Holy Spirit, that we will be patient and not give up when troubles come. Amen.